In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us unite our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Almighty Creator, our dear Heavenly Father, we approach you this morning, desiring, dear Father, simply that we would receive power and strength to endeavor here in this begun living faith, and that thou wouldst give us strength to preserve this precious gift that thou hast given. And we ask, dear Father, simply increase our faith. Grant unto us the heart of thy beloved Son, that we would serve thee with joy, that we would serve one another here, our loved ones, our neighbors, and all. Dear Father, we thank thee for the goodness that thou hast extended unto us, for this our daily bread, our homes and our families, our loved ones, our dear brothers and sisters in faith, and even for our neighbors. But above all, dear Father, we desire to thank thee that thou gave unto us thine only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, through whom we have received the hope of eternal salvation in heaven with thee. Dear Father, preserve us here in this place as a little child and as newborn babies desiring the sincere milk of thy word that we may grow thereby. And we pray as thy beloved Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before we begin our reading our text, also there's a wedding prayer, or actually a wedding prayer for two couples that I was asked to relay. And the first one is Kayla Jane Skoog, who is being married to Colin Randall Kodila. On June 13th, at 4 p.m., and that will be at the Managa Lestadian Lutheran Church. And also on behalf of Samuel Hoika and Carmen Fuller, who will be joined together in marriage at the Rockford Lestadian Church on the 27th of June. And on their behalf, dear brothers and sisters, let's quieten our hearts in prayer and ask our dear Heavenly Father, thou who hast established marriage, bless this covenant, grant these couples one-mindedness and love, and make their home a Christian home, and bless their lives with one another with many blessings. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday on our church calendar, and the theme for this Sunday also reminds us of our Creator, our Heavenly Father, and the theme is simply our hidden God.
One of the, well, actually, the gospel text that's set aside for this Sunday is found from the end of the 28th chapter of the gospel according to St. Matthew, where he very briefly states the very final portion of the work of Jesus. And that's found from the 16th chapter onward, and we'll read these in Jesus' name as follows. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This portion, of course, has been known also as that mission command of our Lord Jesus. I remember years ago when there was this topic of mission work and what we could do to do and fulfill this mission command of Jesus. And you know, we discussed that month after month and year after year, wondering what should we do and how should we go about it. And then God in His infinite wisdom opened unto us, not according to our will, but according to His will. And so then that mission work began in different areas of the world, bearing many fruits. Many, many there in those third world countries have already received their eternal reward of heaven. And there were also those who heard God's word and felt the preciousness and the love and the comfort and the peace of that word, and endeavored and then fell by the wayside. When we think of the last days of Jesus, and one has to read the four Gospels and even some of the writings of the apostles in the epistles to get a full picture of those, as full a picture as God wanted us to have of those final days. Because not everything was recorded as to what happened, but only those things that God saw that would be beneficial and uplifting and comforting and instructive unto us. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, I think in the 15th chapter, he wrote in there also about, on one of these days, whichever day it was, Jesus gathered with the believers, and there were some 500 gathered together that day. This is after he was resurrected, after he had defeated the enemy, Satan, and that he was victorious over that damnation and the torments of hell. Those final days of his life, then, after the resurrection, he appeared only unto his own. Nobody who was in unbelief saw him after he was crucified. And so he was hidden from them. And yet the believers saw him. And it says here, and some doubted. Yeah. I'll have to say, I think every one of them doubted during that time of following that
Good Friday, when he was crucified and died on the cross and was buried in that sealed sepulcher. I don't think there was one believer upon the earth who didn't have some doubt as what happened. And he appeared, of course, unto his own many times during those days, and that after he had been resurrected. And we've been reminded of these times during this time of Easter and following. And of course, one of the most familiar unto us then is Thomas, who hadn't been there when Jesus appeared behind locked doors. He just appeared into that chamber before the disciples and those that were assembled there, except Thomas. Thomas was gone. And then Thomas came back later, and everybody was, well, we could imagine, rejoicing and praising God, and I'm sure he was looking at what happened, and they told him that Jesus was here, and what he told, and what he spoke about to them, and how comforting he was, and how he gave that reassurance unto them that you can believe your sins forgiven. Death has been conquered. Hell has been vanquished. Eternal life was just before them. And we remember Thomas, he said that, I can't believe. I cannot believe. And he said that if I put my fingers into the prints of the nails in his hand and thrust my hand into his side where that spear had pierced. And then it wasn't very long after, and Jesus appeared again, and then he spoke directly to Thomas. He said, "Come hither, Thomas. Press your fingers into the prints of the nails into my hand and thrust your hand into my side." And Thomas stood there before him, trembling. All he could utter was, my Lord and my God. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And doubts have been with the believers throughout time. It's nothing new. Doubts have a way of destroying hope. Doubts have a way of obscuring that vision, the beautiful vision of that salvation that's before us. And that's why Jesus encouraged us so often, "I say unto you, watch and pray." It's comforting, though, dear brother and sister, that in the midst of one's doubting and in the weariness of battle and in the darkness of trial and difficulty of life and sorrow, and Jesus is very near. God, who is a hidden God, is very, very close. Even here, he promised these disciples that at this time had been gathered around him, but every child of God that has been born since that day, and he's comforting and reminding us today. "And I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." We have, dear brother and sister, nothing to fear. The Bible says, if God is with you, who can be against you?
There is reason for joy in the midst of sorrow and difficulty and the trials of life. There is reason to joy even in the midst and in the darkness of sin. The Bible even says that Jesus even goes into the depths of hell to gather His own. That is the kind of Lord we have. He will not leave one. All that is required of us is simply to believe, to cling to this gift that God has given us, this gift of personal faith. And when we think of Trinity Sunday, it certainly reminds us of our triune God, Father, who has been our Creator and the Creator of all living things and all things, the earth and the universe and the vastness of the universe and all those heavenly bodies that we know even nothing of. And even beyond that, God created everything. He is the first portion of the Godhead, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then this hidden Creator, our Heavenly Father, appeared into the midst of mankind in His beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, who came to redeem us and to save us from sin. And He was here in our midst. Boys and girls, nothing's changed. Jesus is still here in our midst this morning. Yes. Through that Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the work of our Lord Jesus continues and has continued for the last 2,000 years through the work of the Holy Spirit that dwells here in God's kingdom. It's a hidden spirit. Those on the outside know nothing of it. When God created mankind, He created mankind to be immortal, created man to live eternally, and He formed him in His image. And dear brother and sister, man will live for eternity. It's easy to believe, and many in the world believe, that there's no heaven, there's no hell. We live here for a span of time and then we're gone. And that's it. That's kind of a easy way to believe, you know. Don't have to worry about eternity. Atheists believe that way. There are many who believe in heaven, but not in hell. That's an easy way to believe. There's no hell, but only heaven. Wouldn't that be an easy way to believe? If there's no hell, the only possibility then for man is heaven. You know, Satan has done a lot of work, and he's deceived mankind into thinking that there are multiple ways of getting to heaven. There's people in our community whom I've spoken to who believe that through prayer, all one needs is to pray unto God, and God forgives, and God allows one to come into heaven. Well, Cornelius tried that, didn't he? Cornelius was a centurion, Roman centurion. He wasn't even a Jewish yet. He was a Gentile. He prayed to God. The Bible said of Cornelius that he prayed to God every day. And it says that he was a devout man. And he gave much alms. Oh, how he helped his neighbors. He had a charitable heart. He had ways, he had means, money, and he freely gave that money then to those that needed it. He gave those alms. Well, that's we'd have to say that's pretty commendable, isn't it? Remember our neighbor in that way, that we wouldn't hold, we even withhold from our purse. We freely give unto them that what they need. Cornelius did everything that man could possibly do to obtain heaven. You know, when you read about I think it's in the 10th chapter of Acts, when you read about him. But the main thing is that he prayed to God, and it says he prayed to God always. And so not just every day. I'm sure throughout that day, he prayed. I mean, you know what? What do you think was one of the most important things he prayed about? He didn't pray, I don't think he would have prayed, that God, bless me with riches. He already had them. He didn't pray to God for a charitable heart. He already had that. Cornelius wanted to get to heaven. And sin was pressing him, and that was one of the reasons why he prayed to God. God, help me. My sins. And God heard his prayer. The hidden God heard his prayer. And he sent his servant. It was just like you and I. It was Peter. A man, Peter went there. He wasn't very willing at first, but God spoke to him, and he went, and he took with him dear brothers, and they went to the house of Cornelius, and he knocked on a door there, and servants opened the door, and they knew that Peter was coming. God had told them to send servants to this certain spot, this certain house on this certain street in this certain city, and knock on that door. And so Peter stood behind the door, and Cornelius saw him, and he fell down at his feet and began to worship him. There's many today, millions, literally millions, that worship at the feet of man today. For not. Peter was mortified. Peter told Cornelius, "Rise up! I'm just a man." Peter felt his sinfulness. Well, certainly he felt his sinfulness. He had been in that lower courtyard, warming his hands around those fires of those unbelievers when Jesus was on that upper courtyard being condemned to death, and. There in that lower courtyard, he denied faith not once, but three times. And he cursed. And the third time then, after the cock had crowed, and he looked up and he happened to gaze at Jesus, and at that moment, Jesus had turned his gaze to him. And it was a loving gaze. That is what the Bible says, that Jesus, our Heavenly Father, will even reach into the depths of hell. That is how secure we are here in God's kingdom. Always there is hope for one who has been derailed by the onslaught of the enemy. So then Peter entered into the room, into the house, and he began to preach unto them God's word, the gospel message of our Heavenly Father. This mission command that Jesus had here referred to. that we read in our text. You know, let's turn to that 10th chapter. It's quite remarkable when one reads what happened there. Acts, I'm in Romans. Okay, so he preached a sermon there, very much like we do today at services or home services or at baptisms or wherever we keep services. This is how he concluded these services, and the house was full. Cornelius, not only Cornelius's family and loved ones, but many others were gathered there. Many, and all of them in unbelief, other than those few brethren that had come with Peter. Believing brethren. In the 43rd verse here in the 10th chapter, it says that, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Whosoever believeth in him through his name shall receive the remission of sins. Does that sound pretty common to us? That it does. It's here in the Bible. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, unto he who believes. The gospel doesn't do anything to one who, unto whom this is preached, who doesn't believe it. But unto the one that believes, it's the power of God unto salvation. And listen now in this 43rd verse. The room, the assembly was full of people, all unbelievers. They were listening to this sermon. They heard these words. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. They didn't see the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, like on Pentecost we heard last Sunday. They didn't see this descending of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. But God lowered that Holy Spirit unto every one of them. Why? Unto every one of them. Why? Not only that they heard the word, but they believed that word that they heard. This is important, dear brothers and sisters, that we believe the gospel, that we believe the message of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and so faith is preserved also by hearing God's word. That's why it's so important to come here to services. That's why it's so important to come to Bible class, and to the youth gatherings, and to the discussions, and beloved youth, pray to God that he would instill in you a desire and a hunger for God's word. The Bible speaks of a time that is coming before us where there will be a hunger of God's word. And then a time will come where the doors of grace will close and God's gracious message is not heard at all. And then at that moment, Jesus appears, even as it says in the Holy Scriptures. And then is the day of judgment. And even that, when we think of that, when all humanity will be gathered together, everybody who has been born and died, I'm just going to read a short clip here. There's in the 5th chapter of the Wisdom of Solomon from the book of the Apocrypha. I'll read it some. It's very comforting reading. The Wisdom of Solomon and Ecclesiasticus in the book of Apocrypha. It says, then this, and this is now judgment day. It's that day. It's that last day. Then shall a righteous man stand in great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him and made no account of his labors. And when they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear and shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation, so far beyond all that they look for. The strangeness of the salvation of our Heavenly Father, the simplicity of living faith, to them it will seem like. And they, repenting, groaning for anguish of spirit, shall say within themselves, "This was he whom we had sometimes in derision, and a proverb of reproach. We fools accounted his life madness, and his end to be without honor. How is he numbered among the children of God?" By the grace of God, dear brothers and sisters, that's why we're here. And I tell you, pays to believe. Cling to this gift. Preserve faith and good conscience. And believe, even now, that your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. That's all that's required of us. Simply faith. And I also need to hear this gospel, that can I believe my many sins and doubts also forgiven. I desire to believe with you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.